trouble in my way. I gotta cry sometime. Will I live week and night? But that's all right. Cause I know that Jesus.
Because he told me that Jesus.
Mama said that Jesus.
My daddy said that Jesus.
You fix it after a while. After a while. Amen. Amen. Well, thank Brother C for the very beautiful songs tonight. Certainly that song makes you feel good. Song almost makes you want to move. But you know that song is true. If you've ever had a problem, many times, even though we're sleepy, our problems don't go to sleep. And if you've ever been laying up in the middle of the night, worried about something, and there just didn't seem to be an answer, and oh, you just either hit your knees or just close your eyes as you lay in bed,
yes, sir,
and talk to the Father.
Yes, sir.
And as you talk to him, you come out of that prayer.
Yes, sir.
And maybe the problem is not fixed,
amen,
but you got a little peace.
Yes, sir.
And you can go on and go to sleep. As far as you're concerned, it's fixed. That's the beauty that we have as being members of the body of Christ. That's what separates, one of the things that separates us from those that are in the world. We have the opportunity to know that we have a helper. We have God the Father, who is there in heaven. We have God the Son, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, who is an intercessor on our behalf. And we have the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within us, that gives us peace in times of crisis and peace in times of trouble. And I tell you, it's just good to be a Christian. We're gonna have problems, even as children of God, but it's just wonderful to serve a God who is able to help us through the problems and the challenges of this life. And again, just thankful so much for the beautiful songs and thankful for the beautiful way in which all of you have sang those songs this evening. It's a wonderful day that we've had to worship God. I'm thankful to Brother Bradshaw. I wasn't here for his lesson this morning, but I always get encouraged as he preaches. So I know that he did a wonderful job this morning. We're just thankful so much for the work that he does. Brother Gibbs is speaking over at the Lawrence and Marta congregation this morning. We were there. He did a wonderful job there this morning. We just continue to be in prayer for him and his family and grateful for his great work. For those that are visiting with us, we're grateful for your attendance, and we hope and pray that as you have come, that you will be encouraged by the things that you have heard, and we hope and pray that you'll come and be back with us again at the services of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. As we continue in our theme for this quarter, elevating my walk and talk, I want you to look at a verse of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and looking at verse number 5. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Paul makes the admonition. He says to examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But then he says, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. He says, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. As Paul uses these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's interesting that Paul was at the time being challenged. His apostleship was being questioned. Paul provided proof of his apostleship. And then he flips the script, if you will. As they were saying, are you an apostle? Are you genuinely sent from God? Then he comes back and says in verse number 5, now you need to examine yourself. He said, whether you be in the faith. Then he says, prove your own selves. Then know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That word reprobate, just in the very simplest terms, means worthless. You need to examine yourself. See what value that you bring to the kingdom of God. And I just submit to you that if we are going to elevate our walk and talk, the very first thing that we have to do is examine ourselves. We have to see where we are. And this takes a very honest look. If a man is going to improve his finances, he can't just keep on spending and doing things the way that he's done in the past. You got to start off with a budget. You got to look at some things that you need to do away with, some ways that you can stop spending if necessary in an effort to improve your financial position. If a man's health is not what it should and ought to be, you can't just keep eating ribs and pork loin and all those things. You're going to have to start eating some salad, some baked chicken, some tofu, whatever that is. There's going to have to be some changes that are made. And if we are going to elevate our walk and talk, we're going to have to, first of all, look at where we are. And I submit that when the text says examine yourself, it doesn't say condemn yourself. Amen. Now, sometimes we look at ourselves and we look at ourselves critically in the wrong way. You don't need to condemn yourself, because in the end, if you've not been found worthy, God will take care of that. What we need to do is examine ourselves. We need to see whether we be in the faith. And it takes a very honest examination of who we are. It's not an examination that takes place based on the way I look at others around me. But it's an examination of me. It's an examination of who I am and the kind of life that I'm living. Because as Paul says in the text, the goal is to move from being a reprobate to, if we look in verse number 9, for we are glad that we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. He wants us to move from, if I'm in this position, I need to move from a position of being a reprobate to perfection. And that's not perfection that's based on my own dealings and my own lies and my own actions, but it's the perfection that comes through a life that has been joined with and a life that falls under the law and the wishes and the word of God. And so as I look at this particular text, I want to enjoin this text with another text in Psalms chapter 90. And looking at I'll go through verses 1 through 12. Because I believe as we look at our lives and we examine ourselves, there ought to be something that takes place that helps us to have a greater perspective of where we are and where we need to be in our lives as a Christian. In Psalm chapter 90 and looking at verse number 1, the Bible said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever thy hands formed the earth and the world even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, mourn ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, and they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. And thou hast set our iniquities before us, before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet it is their strength, for it is soon their strength labor for and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. And then in verse number 12, it says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to use that as a topic for our lesson tonight. If we're going to elevate our walk and our talk, I believe it's very important for us to number our days. When I think about this idea of numbering our days, to number our days means to utilize each and every day as wisely as we possibly can as we contemplate how swiftly life is passing. I don't know about you, but for me, it seems like life is just flying by. I remember vividly being 17 and 27 and 37, 47, 57. Life is swiftly passing. And as we look at life and contemplate life, we need to have the mindset that I don't have long. Matter of fact, I stand before you tonight, I feel good. But I just don't know when my final breath is going to take place. And all along my walk on this earth, I need to be working and I need to be struggling. I need to be striving to elevate the person that I am, elevate this living sacrifice that needs to be given back to God. My objective in the lesson tonight is to point out the ways in which this scripture indicates how we can properly number our days and in doing so, help us to be individuals that elevate our lives before God. And I just want to say just a couple of things on these points. I want to talk about recognizing the fact that God is our refuge. Then recognize the eternal nature of God. And then I need to recognize just how frail I am. Then I need to use my days wisely And then I just simply need to wait on God. When I look at, again, the text, in Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 4, the Bible said, for 1,000 years, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and a watch in the night. How many of us, as we look at life, can say that throughout this year, God has been my dwelling place? He says in verse number 1, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Can you say that God has been your dwelling place? Where did you go this year for security, for strength, for assurance? Did you go to your job? Did you try to find it in things? Did you try to find some solace in accomplishments? Some of those things might have been enough to get you through a day, but maybe even to get you through a short time, but will those things get you through the rest of your life? And even more importantly, will those things get you through and to an eternal home? When I think about this in Psalm chapter 91, in verse number 2 and 3, the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He said, my God, in him will I trust. If I'm going to elevate my walk, I've got to have a deeper trust in God. I got to have a deeper trust in the presence of God, a deeper trust in the fact that I can call on God. And God has got to be a very present help. He is present, but he's got to have a presence that is lodge within my mind and within my spirit, that I recognize and I understand that God is always near. Look what the text says in Psalms 91 and verse number 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. God is a deliverer. He's a deliverer. And I know if many of us, most all of us, can look back over time and see that there have been trials and there have been difficulties, there have been challenges, there have been insurmountable, obviously insurmountable times. When we look back and we see God brought me through, if he brought me through before, he'll bring me through again. And if I'm going to elevate my walk, I'm going to have to make sure that I stay in the presence of God. Oh, when I think about this as well, the psalmist has so much to say about being in the presence of God. I know we all know this one in Psalms chapter 46 and verse number 10. The Bible says, well, in verse number 1, he says, God is our refuge. And it said our strength. And it said in a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help. Sometimes we call on men for help. They take a long time, if they come at all. Sometimes when we call on other professionals that we might need their help on something, they come at their own convenience. But I'm here to tell you that we have an on-time God. He's a very present help in all the times of trouble in our life. No wonder the psalmist could say in Psalm chapter 23 and verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not ever going to leave the church. I'm not ever going to leave prayer. Not ever going to leave Bible study. Not going to ever leave the fellowship of God's people. Even when life might deal whatever it deals my way, I'm not going to question God. I'm not going to question life. I'm just going to have a deeper faith and a deeper commitment to those things that God has told me to do. I'm going to stay and remember that he is my refuge. And as I stay in the presence of God, as I go through the trials, as I go through the difficulties, I'm going to come through the trials a better person. It's going to elevate my walk. Then, not only am I going to recognize that God is my refuge, see, I need to recognize the eternal nature of God. Again, when we look back to Psalms chapter 90 and looking at verse number 2, the psalmist talks about the eternal nature of God. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before there was time, in the dimension in which we live, God was. He knows all about what happened before time. He knows and he has dominion over all time now. He has control of the future. If I'm going to elevate my walk, I want to put my trust not just in things that I can see. I want to put my trust in those things that I cannot see. That's what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I don't need to see everything. I don't need to understand how everything works. I don't even need to know everything that's going to happen in my future. The only thing that I need to know is I need to know to put my trust in the one that does know. That's God. I need to remember the eternal nature of God. And you see, I can't please an eternal God with temporary priorities. My goal and my aim must be eternal as well. I need to think of who I am. See, I am an eternal being. I think I've shared this thought before, but every time I think about it, like the psalmist says, it's too wonderful for me to understand sometimes. But when I look at my life, I am an eternal being. Yes, one of these days, this physical body that you see one day is going to close its eyes and rest. But when this physical body is over, this spiritual man is going to continue to live. I will forever and forever be. I will forever exist. I cannot satisfy an eternal God just by concentrating on temporary priorities. I can't just be temporal in my vision of life. I've got to recognize that I've got to be eternal in my vision of life. That's why we sing that song, Build Your Hopes on things eternal. Amen. Hold to God's unchanging hand. If I'm going to elevate my walk, I got to realize this fact that I'm not just here for this time to this time. I've got to recognize that I am an eternal being, and my decisions, my hopes, my aspirations, my conclusions have got to be based with the form and a formula that includes the whole idea of eternity. Amen. I'm eternal. It would be different, like the old preachers used to say, when I die, I'm dead like Rover, dead all over. But the truth is, we're going to continue to live on. I remember, don't you remember Job? On one occasion when Job questioned God, the Bible said that God answered Job, helped him understand some things. In Job chapter 38, the Bible said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. You know, if God answered me out of the whirlwind, I said, that's all right, God, I got you. That'd be all I need. But the Bible said that God answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he asked him, where was thou? Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have some understanding. Then look what he said. If we go down to verse 12, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but in verse number 12, he said, has thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? Have you told the morning what to do, Job? Look at what he's saying. In verse number 16, has thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depth? In verse number 17, have the gates of death been opened to thee? Have you seen death itself? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Look at what it says in verse number 34. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that the abundance of water may cover thee? Can you command rain, Job? Look at what it said. I love this one in verse number 35. Can you send the lightnings that they may go and they say unto you, here we are, God, where you want us to go today? Who has put wisdom in the inward part, or who have given understanding to the heart? Job, can you answer any of these questions? If not, you need to trust me, Job. You need to put your faith in me, Job. You need to understand me, Job. I need to remember and I need to appreciate the eternal nature of God. Then, I know there's a lot I can say on that one, but I don't want to belabor you too long tonight. Then I need to recognize how frail I am. Again, going to the text, back to Psalms chapter 90. And you look in verse number 10. He said, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there strength in labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know the thing about death, it makes no difference how you feel. One of these days, we're going to fly away. When I think of Moses, this text, Psalms chapter 90, is actually Moses' psalm. And he talks about death. And he uses the term, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. But then when I think about Moses, if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and looking down to verse number 7, and we see something about the death of Moses. Look at what the text said. The Bible said, and Moses was how old? He was 120 years old when he died. And watch this. His eye was not dim. And nor was his natural force abated. Moses had 20/20 vision. And Moses was a strong man when he died. But still, Moses died. And even if we feel good, and even if we feel that everything is going right, this does not mean that my time on this earth is perpetual. And if I'm going to elevate my walk, I need to begin to realize the value of my time on this earth. And I need to recognize how frail I am. I'm just a breath away from eternity. One breath. will take me into eternity. So given the fact that I'm frail, I need to number my days. And I need to wait on the Lord. When I think about this idea again in James chapter 4, and looking at verse number 13 through verse number 15, James makes a statement, says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It is but a what? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. He said, for that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. And so given that fact, the final point is that we need to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. When I think about wisdom, wisdom is knowledge applied. And the writer of Proverbs would say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. If you want to properly apply your life and properly apply your days and consequently elevate your walk and talk, then the thing that I need to do on a daily basis in all aspects of my life, I need to apply the wisdom that comes from the Word of God to every aspect of my life, every aspect of my walk, apply it in my dealing with my family, apply it in my dealing at the job, apply it in my interactions with individuals that I come in contact with on a daily basis, apply it in every aspect of life. Because as I apply my heart unto wisdom, I'm doing those things that God has designed me to do. I'm living my life in a way that God has designed me to live. And you see, as I apply wisdom, as the Word of God becomes the centerpiece of my life, and it becomes the centerpiece of all that I do, then as I live my life, I wait on the Lord. Psalm chapter 39, and looking at verse number 4, the Bible said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Then looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good tonight. That we have a God who is mindful of us. When I wait on the Lord, it's not just a wait to solve problems, but it's a constant readiness, a readiness for the time that God will call me home. I got to stay ready. And that's what an elevated walk. An elevated walk is a prepared walk. It's a walk that says, like Paul, at the end of his life, he said, for now, I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. See, when I wait on the Lord, you know, I think about this. When my sister, I had one brother and one sister that we would stay at home together in the summer when we got old enough. And mom and dad would say, all right, we're going to let y'all stay at home. But when we get home, this house better be clean. Some of y'all had the same thing, didn't they? And oh, we get in there, we play, we make forts and all such other things and clubhouses in the house and have furniture all over the place, and And most of the time, we look at the clock and say, oh, we got about an hour and a half to get things right. So we get in there and get everything cleaned up. But then there were other times when we got so deep in the plan that we looked up. And maybe mom and dad came home a little earlier than they normally would. And there was trouble. But you see, when we took the time and did what we were supposed to do, then after that time, we were sitting there waiting on mom and dad to come home. I see that for the Christian. You need to live your life. We need to elevate our walk in such a way that we are waiting on the Lord. The early Christians prayed a prayer. I wonder how many of us can pray that prayer. Lord, come quickly. Because they were waiting. And when a walk is elevated, I'm ready for God to come back. I can pray the prayer. Lord, come quickly. May God help all of us live our lives in such a way that we number our days and subsequently elevate our walk. Here tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to do so. Hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, go down the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life. And you began your walk with God, and as you continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom, you began to elevate your walk. And one of these days when your life is over, you will be in a position in which you're waiting for God to come back. If you're here tonight and you are a Christian, and maybe your walk is not what it should be, you need to make a change in your life. You know, sometimes you can walk in a direction so long, a wrong direction so long, you begin to feel comfortable. But if you know there's something wrong, if there's something amiss in your walk, you need to make a change in your walk right here, right now, tonight. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. Make a change in your life. If there's anyone that has a need, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
When the Savior calls, I will answer.